Today's reading is 2 Timothy 3, 10 through 17. Please stand as you're able. But you have paid attention to my teaching, conduct, purpose, faithfulness, patience, love, and endurance. You have seen me through experience physical abuse and ordeals in places such as Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. I put up with all sorts of abuse. The Lord rescue me from all of it. In fact, anyone who wants to live a holy life in Christ Jesus will be harassed. But even people, evil people and swindlers will grow even worse as they deceive others while being deceived themselves. But you must continue with the things you have learned and found convincing. You know who taught you. Since childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures that help you to be wise in a way that leads to salvation through the faith that is in Christ Jesus. Every scripture is inspired by God and useful for teaching, showing mistakes, for correcting, and for training character, so that the person who belongs to God can be equipped in everything that is good. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you. You may be seated. Thanks, Larry. Friends, forgive me a moment while I get organized for today. It's going to be a little bit of show and tell day. Oh, I'm surrounded. Yay. You know, this past week, Tammy led me to, remind me it was Valentine's Day. And as I was filling out Valentine's cards for our grandkids, it got my mind nostalgic again. Those of you that have worshipped here for a while, you know my mind waxed nostalgic on occasion. And I thought back to the days when Tammy and I went out in high school. And you know, in those pre-text, pre-social media days, when you wanted to express your affection for the one that you love, you would send them a love note. Now, I confess unto you that writing love notes terrified me. I felt the pressure to be a romantic poet, to write romantic poems. But I'm no Shakespeare. And I think I began, I don't know how many love notes to Tammy. And they must have been really bad because, thankfully, my memory has expunged every shred of memory of what those lines might have read. However, I do remember Tammy's first love note to me. And I love that love note not because it was from the young lady that I was falling in love with. I mean, yes, in addition to that, Kevin. I remember falling in love too. But also because it showed me a way that I could write a love note. And so I'm going to share a few words with you. And don't worry, this isn't going to be overly mushy and personal. These are the first few lines of this love note. Ooh, I need your love, babe. Guess you know it's true. Hope you need my love, babe, just like I need you. Hold me, love me. Hold me. Love me. I ain't got nothing but love, babe. 8 days a week. Thank you, Tammy. And thank you, Beatles. And every subsequent note of love that I gave to my wife was filled with my imaginative words that came from the lyrics of my favorite rock bands. And all was well with the world. Today, friends, we are going to be talking about the best love note there is. And that's the love note of the Holy Bible. Perhaps you haven't thought of the Bible as a love note to us. A love note from God, filled with God's love. Maybe you've read the Bible or tried to read the Bible and you got to one of those genealogies. And you were bored with the begats. Or maybe you got really twisted around in all the detailed instructions and how to build the temple that we find in Exodus. Or maybe you came to another part of the Bible and you say, my word, this is terrible. This is filled with blood and violence. And you were horrified by what you read. Or you could have been like me for many years of my life, and your Bible sat on a coffee table, gathering dust just like an old album cover. Friends, if we follow Jesus Christ, we should read this book. Not this book particularly that I'm holding in my hand, but what it is, the Holy Bible. Because these are words of love. This is the best love note there is, and as we'll talk about here in just a moment, it's a library. I like to think of it as a portable library of love. Today we're going to be talking about how and why we should read the Bible, just like Shannon did in her children's time. Although I'm going to take a little bit different tack today. But it's my hope that you will begin to see how the Bible is a love note to us that changes us to be love notes for each other. Now, before we get into the why and how, we always have to get into the what. So let me explain what the Bible is. Bible are 66 books altogether. That's why I call them a library. First part of it is what we call the Old Testament, which has 39 books, and then the remaining books are the New Testament. The Old Testament, which was mainly written in Hebrew, although there's a little Aramaic spread through Ezra, Jeremiah, and Daniel, I believe, and really a better name for the Old Testament is the Hebrew Scriptures. Well, they're filled with books that have theologically oriented historical narrative, poetry, songs, proverbs, and on and on and on. And all of those books, well, they're focused on sharing God's love. The Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, that was the Bible that Jesus and his followers read, or a version of the Bible that they read. That was the Scriptures to them, not only for Jesus and his followers, but for everyone who wrote the New Testament. When Larry shared about all Scriptures are inspired by God, that's what the Apostle Paul was originally talking to Timothy about. Because guess what? There was no New Testament yet when the books of the New Testament were written, right? They hadn't yet been written, and they hadn't yet been gathered together and distributed. So that's the importance of the Old Testament. The New Testament, which I also call the Christian writings because they were written by followers of Jesus who were inspired by God to put down all about Jesus, contain four Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which I'm hoping everybody has taken on the Gospel challenge and has been reading those four Gospels. Just a few more weeks till the end of February. We have four Gospels. We have a book of Acts of the Apostles, or Acts of the Holy Spirit. And then we have a whole lot of letters that actually make up most of the Christian writings of the New Testament. Letters written by the Apostle Paul and by others. Sometimes you hear them called epistles. And then there's an apocalyptic book that ends everything that we call Revelation. These books are books that, even though Paul might have talked about the Scriptures originally as part of just the Hebrew Scriptures, we today, when we read about Scriptures in the New Testament, we include all the books of the New Testament as well. Does that make sense? Now, whenever we say we read the Bible, those 66 books, that portable library of love, we need to be a little careful. Those 66 books have been translated from the original Hebrew, Aramaic, and the New Testament, which was written in Greek, into English and other languages. In fact, I have a Bible here. You're welcome to come and see it. This is Navajo. So if you'd like to see the Bible in Navajo, it's pretty awesome. But when we talk about reading the Bible, we need to be clear that our Bible is not the same as other people's Bibles. What we read, what we consider the Holy Bible, is really the Protestant Bible. Our neighbors next to us have a Bible that has more books included. I have the New Jerusalem Bible, which is a book for the Catholic Church, and there are other books that are included as part of the canon, as part of what they consider Holy Scripture. If we were to talk about with our Jewish brothers and sisters, and we were to talk about all how the Old Testament is organized, we would realize that they organize things a little bit differently. This is the Hebrew Scriptures here. Actually, you open it up and you read it backwards from the way we usually do it. And this has Hebrew in it with an English translation next to it. But as we read through these words, we realize that they've organized books a little bit differently. Whereas in our Bibles, we might split out some books, like 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings. They just have Samuel, and they have Kings, and they're all together. And the way that they organize, too, is that all those different 39, actually less, books in the Hebrew Bible here are actually organized as the Law, the Prophets, and the Writings. Exodus is a book of law. Isaiah is an example of a prophetic book. And the Psalms, an example of writing. All of these works, from the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, and the New Testament, the Christian writings, it doesn't matter which version they're in, friends, they're all books of love, right? Portable libraries of love, remember that. So we know now what Scriptures are. Why should we read them? Well, Paul shares the perfect words with his younger colleague who he is mentoring, Timothy, in 2 Timothy. He says, every scripture is inspired by God. I like the way the New International Version puts it, every scripture is God-breathed. You see, scripture, we believe, offers revelation of who God is, of who Jesus Christ is, who the Holy Spirit is. God is revealed in so many different ways to us. We see God in a sunset, amen? We see God when we experience the power of the Holy Spirit coursing through our hearts in love. But we know that we're experiencing God in this way because of what is revealed about God in Scripture. See, Paul puts it this way. He says, you must continue with these things that you have learned and found convincing, Timothy. You know who taught you. And earlier in the letter, we find out that his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice were the ones that trained Timothy. He says, you know who taught you. Since childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures that help you to be wise in a way that leads to salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. Every scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for showing mistakes, for correcting, and for training character, so that every person who belongs to God can be equipped to do everything that is good. The founder of the United Methodist Christian Faith Tribe, John Wesley, would say that Scripture is a foundational way that we experience God's love in this world. We experience God's love, transforming love in a variety of ways. We experience that love through the experiences that we have in our faith and observing the faith of others. We have that experience of God's love from what we can know through the faculties of our reason. We experience that love and life in God through the tradition passed down through the church, not just the United Methodist Church, but other churches through time. But undergirding them all of those experiences, is Scripture. You can think of Scripture as the lens from which we can interpret our experiences, the key to help us to process the Scriptures with our minds, and the way that we can make sense of the Christian faith tradition. Not only that, but John Wesley would say that reading the Scripture is a means of grace. Last week we talked about means of grace. Means of grace are those practices, those rituals, those ways that we can experience most especially God's presence, God's peace, and God's power. Last week we talked about how prayer was a means of grace. Reading Scripture is also a means of grace, whether we read it alone or with others. This is how we can experience God. This is where God is revealed. This is how God communicates to us. Can you see how important Scripture is? And that's why we should read it. It's love. When you actually get into reading it, you will find that it is filled with love. But it's okay to push back on me. Might be saying, Rev Kev, I have read the Scriptures. I'm having a hard time seeing the love. Slavery is bad, but there it is. In both the Old and New Testament, and they don't say anything against it. And yeah, I go into reading different parts of the Old and the New Testament. And all of those biblical heroes and heroines from when I was in Sunday school, when I read Scripture, they seem like messed up people. Hello, King David. King David, who was a great king of Israel, had an affair with another woman and then set up her husband so that he would be assassinated in battle. And then later on, the family is so dysfunctional that his sons tried to take over his kingdom. And yeah, I'm reading Joshua. And they're talking genocide there. Where is the love? Good questions. Let's talk about how we might read the Bible to deal with questions like that and others that you might find. This is going to unite a little bit with what you were talking about, Shannon, but it's going to veer a little bit differently too. First of all, I would ask that you would consider the lives of the people that you're reading about as you read this Scripture and what was going on in their lives at the time. We give a fancy name to that. We call that historical context. But it's important. You know why? Because we come to the Bible, each one of us, with an attitude. And we should come to the Bible with an expectation, but we come to it with an attitude. And that attitude is as a 21st century person with a modern, postmodern, scientific worldview mindset. Did I cover everything? We can't help it. We grew up this way. And we come to these ancient libraries of love, of faith. Not science, but faith. And we expect this book to fit into our 21st century worldview. I would ask that we would allow our hearts to be challenged by what we read, by trying to understand the lives of the people then and how the Scriptures gave them hope so that we can get a deeper meaning by what is meant. This is how we can understand how war and conquest was how love could be seen in the book of Joshua, as horribly bloody as it would seem. That's the lives of the people trying to become a people after they had been in the wilderness. And when we consider the lives of the people, then all sorts of new meanings can come in. One of my favorite examples is in the ministry of Jesus Christ, one of his teachings. Turn the other cheek. turn the other cheek. I think many of us read that and say, oh, Jesus, meek and mild, is asking us to be meek and mild when somebody hits us. Let's think of it a different way. You know, when somebody who was superior to others in a class system would admonish someone, like a master and a slave, they would backhand them. They would show them the back of their hand and they would backhand them. If you were to turn your other cheek, then they have no choice but to hit you with the palm of your hand. That's not being meek and mild. That's putting them on an equal platform with you. You are resisting them belittling you in that way. When you think about the history and what it means, that gives us new insights into what Jesus was talking about. It gives us new insight into what the scripture says. So consider the times. Something else that I would lift up to you is to read a whole book of the Bible. As Shannon was talking about earlier, there's this wonderful video out on YouTube called The Whole Sweep of Scripture, and it's a conversation with one of my favorite biblical scholars, N.T. Wright. And somebody asked him, well, how should I read the Bible? And he says, well, frequently and thoroughly. But he also shares that, you know, what's unfortunate is that people read in bite-sized chunks. The Bible wasn't written for us to read it in bite-sized chunks of 10 verses. It was broken down that way over the centuries so we could be used, it could be used in worship. But we are not supposed to read that. We should read a whole book of the Bible so that we can let it wash over us, so that we can be brought into the world of the scripture was there. We should read the Bible like we listen to a symphony. Imagine if you were to go to a performance of Beethoven's Ninth. And the conductor starts it and it begins. And then after 10 bars, he stops. He turns to the audience and says, come back next week for the next 10 bars. We wouldn't do that, would we? But we do that with scripture. N.T. Wright suggests that we should attempt to read a full book of the scripture, so that we can get into it. Now, I know some books are going to be really tough to read. Start with the ones that are in bite-sized chunks. Psalms, Proverbs, parts of James. But think about reading a gospel all the way through in one sitting. Or one of Paul's letters. N.T. Wright talked about reading the letter to Romans. My experience was reading the Gospel of Luke. Friends, I don't know what it was, but Thursday morning I got up at 1 o'clock. Couldn't sleep. Happens sometimes. So I said, well, I'm going to read some Luke. And I planned to read my bite-sized chunk. You know, I was going to read the Christmas story in chapters 1 and 2. But I kept on reading. This was before I wrote this message, by the way. I had no idea. I hadn't even seen the video by N.T. Wright. I hadn't heard Shannon's sermon yet. So I just read that. And friends, what a revelation! To sit and read in one setting a gospel. I was more in the world of Luke than I had ever been. To see the compassion as Luke shares the story and those wonderful parables of the Good Samaritan and the prodigal son and the role of women that you don't find in Matthew and Mark. Friends, when I started the Gospel Challenge, which I hope most of you are on, when I started that on the 16th of January, it took me from the 16th of January to the 9th of, I think that's right, the 9th of February to read Matthew and Mark, and I thought, I'm in trouble. I'm not going to be able to finish this. But then I read the full Gospel of Luke, and I was blessed. So I want to encourage you to do that. John Wesley, again, founder of our Christian faith tradition of Methodism. John Wesley also advocating reading full books because that's how you were able to get the general tenor of what God was trying to say through that book. And in fact, in each book, all the inconsistencies that you might find, all the things that you might have questions about, all the difficult parts of passages, you can use the whole general tenor, the main meaning of the whole book, to help you interpret the difficult sections of the book. And that's what John Wesley advocated when he talked about the whole tenor, the general tenor of Scripture. But Wesley meant even something more, and that's what I would like just to end with today, is that the whole Bible, the Old Testament Hebrew Scriptures, the New Testament Christian writings, there's a general tenor to the whole thing. And you know what that is, don't you? That we have a God who loves. We have a God who is love. We have a God who created us in love. We have a God who, even though God is more than we can ever know, still would be in relationship with us with a love that forms and transforms us, so that we can be the people that God created us to be. That is the general tenor of the greatest love note that we have. This greatest love note, which is Portable Library of Love. Friends, read this book. Read this book not because it's a duty. Read this book not just because. Read this book because the more you read it, the more you will know of God's love. It's not magic, but the Holy Spirit is there with you to help you as you read through. Read it frequently. Read it thoroughly. And read it. Because as we're transformed in love, then we can be a part of God's transforming work in this world. I love this book. I love the Bible. It's changed my life. As I've shared, I don't know how many times, I wouldn't be here had it not been for God's love that I've seen in the Bible. My encouragement to you always, read that book and be changed. Thank you for the Valentine, Lord. Your love poured out through all those writers inspired by you. And amen.